Good evening, everyone. Today, the readings are for the second Sunday of Easter and also Divine Mercy Sunday. And I'm going to start with the gospel and move backwards because that makes more sense. So the message of the gospel today is to erase doubt in our lives. We are asked to never doubt the power, the wisdom, or the love of God. It's okay and even desirable to ask questions, right? To do so like Mary did. How do I accomplish this? I don't understand this, but I want to. Explain to me, to my mind, and to my heart. And not like Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. If you look at his words are very similar to those of Mary, but God sees the attitude and the doubt, like he saw Thomas's doubt in today's gospel. So let us be curious, not doubtful. This gospel message of Christ was written down by true and faithful witnesses, eyewitnesses. We are not eyewitnesses, but we have this testimony, this witnessing through all the ages, through salvation history, that we're inspired by God, that we may believe in our hearts and in our minds and in our souls. And when we believe, we may have new life in his name. Not in our name, but in his name. And we can be instruments of God's grace and power in the world. Remember how the apostles and the disciples did miracles in his name? They were sent out two by two. So can we as followers in his name. Maybe not the same level of miracles as the apostles did, but miracles that can nonetheless change people's minds and their lives through our witness and by his name. We are called to do that through our baptism. The key of the second reading is the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. It is a sign of God's great mercy, of new hope, forever a gift to all believers. And Jesus suffered, we know that. But we too, his followers, may also suffer. Now, God will never tempt us to sin, but we may be tested for our spiritual growth, and we may be persecuted because we share Jesus' values, and we may suffer out of love for him and with him and in him. I heard this week someone speak about grief. The person said, grief never goes away. It just changes shape enough for us to move forward. I kind of like that. I think the same may be true with our sufferings and our persecutions. Our sufferings may not go away, but they can change shape enough for us to move forward. They may look more and more like the shape of a cross. It is through Jesus that the cross has become a sign of hope and a sign of victory, and may it be so for us as well. The first reading is about making Christ central in our lives and in our families. How did they do it? Well, the reading told us how. They learned the teachings of the apostles, the kerygma, the basic story of salvation. And we've done that here in our parish in lots of ways, but even here at Mass, created, captured, rescued, response. Do you remember that? Part of their response was a communal life. They held things in common. They sold their property and possessions to provide as each other needed. It was also through the breaking of the bread, as we will shortly have here in God's church. They did so in their homes, the original domestic churches, and it said with sincerity of heart, with exultation, which I think means great joy, and we should have great joy that we are here to receive Christ in his body and his blood. And through personal and communal prayer, they talked about meeting in the temple area and praising God and enjoying favor with all the people. All the people are a part of God's creation, so for them to be together was to celebrate God's creation. The result, it said, every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Notice that he didn't say saved as in past tense, but being saved. And we are in the process of being saved each and every day. But there's a common theme among these readings, God's mercy, which is fitting for Divine Mercy Sunday. God's mercy is evident in creation, the ordered universe. This is one for all the geeks out there, you scientists. The laws of the universe are precise. Take, for example, the gravitational constants. That if that constant were just one part per million smaller, the planets and we would fly off and die. And if it was just a tiny bit larger, the planets would all collapse on themselves and we would die. But it is perfectly the gravitational constant that we need for life and our planets. Think too about the incredible detail of the plants and the animals around us, and us as well. Our bodies, our minds, our spirits, we're still trying to figure out what those all work about. So it is an act of mercy that it all fits together and holds together. God's mercy was present in the prophets, Abraham, Moses, Jeremiah, David, the list goes on. They were sent by God to lead the human race in unity with him. It didn't quite work. But God's mercy came to perfection in the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. He came in a meek and mild birth, not as a warrior. He reinforced the importance of repentance, fidelity to the commandments, the importance of love, especially sacrificial love, and the importance of dependence on his Father. God's mercy was and is present in his disciples. It was a merciful love that drew the apostles and the disciples of his time to a new life in his name. It is a merciful love that draws us to new life in his name. A merciful love that we show to our family and our neighbors every day. Let us pray that we be showered with this saving grace. And I invite many blessings to you this holy season and a happy Easter. Amen.